Okay, so let's start from question 13. Interestingly enough, I didn't understand the question when I first read it, and then I put a comma in and it made a lot more sense. So I'm not sure that it happened to everyone else. Maybe I'm just bad at reading questions. But Mavur Bigamara Babakama, there a mayor who did Tana de Braisa, de Mechisa Karam Shnifritza. So he's the Tana of our Braisa that holds that if the wall fell and the Karam was coming in, that you'd be chayiv in that situation. He's the Tana who holds this idea of Dina de Garmin. So this is the part where I didn't really understand the question, and then I added a comment and it made a lot more sense. Maybe everyone else read it this way, and then I'm just going to feel a little silly right now. But Kasha de Hacha ain't a Bala Karim Mazik, comma, right? In this situation, the Bala Karim isn't the one being Mazik. El Hagafanim Shalom Mazikin. Rather, it's his grapes that are doing the damage. Did everyone else get that, or is that just... Everyone got that? Okay, now I just feel ridiculous. Okay. Vafila Rabbanan de Rameyer Yechayvus Elisham. So that's really the question, right? If this is a case of this is the Ramban's question. If this is a case of Mamon Hamazik, then if it's a case of Mamon Hamazik, then the Rabbanan should say that you're going to be chayv in this situation. Yet we know, just outside, that we know that there's a machlokas to Rabbanan and Rameyer, that in a case of Dina de Garmi, which is also this case, that the Rabbanan would say, in a case of Dina de Garmi is the same as Grama, and therefore you should be Pater. But Rameyer would say, a case of Grama, you're going to be Pater, but in a case of Garmi, you'd be Chayef. So if this is a case of Garmi, then the Rabbanan should be saying Pater. Yet seemingly in this case of what's it called? Of Mamon Hamazik, they should be saying that you're chayev. Is that clear? Hopefully that's clear. So the Ramban gave two different answers on how to address this question. So just keep in mind, the havamina of the question is that we're dealing with the case of Mamon Hamazik. And the question now is, do we say that we're going to reject that havamina and say, no, we're not dealing with the case of Mamon Hamazik? Or do we accept the havamina of the question? Then we have to work around, okay, so how are we going to work out the Rabbanan? I think that's a good fundamental way of looking at how the Ramban is going to address this question. So what does the Ramban do in his first answer? In his first answer, he rejects the Havamina, and he says, no, we're not dealing with the case of Mamon Hamazik. And why isn't this the case of Mamon Hamazik? Because this is a case... Am I still recording? Okay, fine. Why is it not a case of Mamon Hamazik? Because in this case, it's not that your Kerem is doing the damage, that your Gefanim are doing the damage. Rather, it's the Yeyesh HaBaal. Once the Baal decides that I don't want to build this gate anymore, then it's not his grapes that are doing the damage. It's he himself. It's he's the one who's really causing it. And it's the Taroves plus the Ratzon Habal in this situation. They're partners working in tandem together. So therefore, in this situation, if it's now we've redefined it not as a Mamon Hamazik case, but as an Adam Hamazik case, Rameyer is going to say, you'd be chayiv in this situation. Well, seemingly the Rabbanan would say that you'd be putter, maybe because Yeyush isn't necessarily enough to be chayiv in this situation, but they would say you're putter. So that was all if you reject the Havamina of the question. But let's say we accept it. Let's say we say, no, this is a case of Mamon Hamazik. So if this is a case of Mamon Hamazik, then how can the Rabbanan say you're putter in this case? They should really be saying that you're chayiv. So we answer, or the Rabban answers, is that we're dealing, this is, even though this is a case of Mamon Hamazik, it's a special case of Mamon Hamazik. This is a case of Garmi de Mamona. Because if you think about it, I mean, the case in the question was that if you release your bull, and then the shore, and then it goes and messes things up, that's a case of Mamon Hamazik. But is this case really in that same kind of category of being so direct? Meaning you're just planting your gefanim, and then over time, it's more of a grama situation, where over time, the damage is going to occur. So it's really not necessarily, I wouldn't say it's a Mamon Hamazik, it's more of a Garmi de Mamona. And if we say it's Garmi de Mamona, then the Machlokas Rabbanan and Rameyer works out very well. Rameyer is going to say, oh, it's a case of Garmi, and therefore it's a case of Garmi, we're going to say you're Chayev. And the Rabbanan would say, you'd be putter in the situation because it's a case of Garmi, and it'd be no different than grama. So that was the two answers of the Ramban. So moving on to question number 14. So Lama Nakaratana Omer Lo Gador Bet Pamim Lefi Hariv Lefi Arbeinu Tam. So let's take this question and we'll take it step by step. So why do you need to tell this person to build it two times? So the Ri gives more like technical answer, And he says the Baal HaKerem might think he doesn't have to be Goder again, right? He says, oh, I mean, I was Goder the first time. You know, after it fell, I built up the fence again. And I did it that one time. This is a one-time request. Why do I need to build it again? He might think it was his only responsibility the first time. So therefore, because he's going to think, you know, I don't have to do it again, you have to tell him a second time to be Goder. But the Rabbeinu Tam gives more of a, maybe more of a fundamental or more of a Yesodistic answer. And he says that the first, when it grew the first time, and then it was Goder, and he built it up again, built up the gate, and then it breaks, and it's Mosif, and then you're Chazra, and you tell him to go there again, we don't combine the first growth to the second growth, meaning because you built it in the interim. So the concept that Rabbi Tam used was Rishon Rishon Batel, and we say the first growth is going to be Mevatel. So that's what Rabbi Tam says. So Ma Kasha al Rabbi Tam. So what's the Kasha on him? So we know that there's a case that we mentioned of Zroa Uba. And I'm blanking on the exact case. I'm pretty sure this is what the case is. Maybe someone afterwards can tell me if I'm right or if I was wrong. I'm pretty sure the case is where you have an Atitz Nakov, where you have a potted plant that's perforated on the bottom, has holes in it. And if you were, shout out to Akiva for giving me that word, perforated. So it's a perforated pot, has holes on the bottom. And we view it as, and then if you walk in with those gefanim into a stale lavan, if you walk with those grapevines and with this potted plant that has holes in it, if it's mosif masayim, if it grows a one two hundredth, then it would be considered a kilayim in that situation. That's the case of zruah uba. I'm pretty sure that was the case. But either way, the issue is that if according to Rabbeinu Tam we say then that you can say kama batel, then how would you ever have a situation of hosif masayim? You could just say that, oh, it grew 1/100th, and then we'll be kama batel, we'll be mevatel that first half, and then it'll never actually get to a case of 1/200th because we'll always be mevatel the first part of growth. So how did we answer this? How does the Rabbeinu Tam make sense? So I mean the answer. I'm only going to give the Ramban's first answer, even though I guess in Shir we brought two different answers to the Ramban. But I talked to Rebbe yesterday and only wanted the easier, more simpler answer of the Ramban. So we're going to go with that. The Ramban says that these two cases are very different. By the case of our case of the Brisa, you have it's going to grow. 1/100th, whatever, it's going to grow, then the gate kind of cuts it off. But what the Ramban says is that by the case of the Zroa Oba, by the Hosef Masayim case, that's like it starts this growth and it's on this process. The process is in motion for it to grow Masayim, right? If nothing comes and stops it, it's going to get to a 200th. And we contrasted that also to the case of the Yayin Nesach, Yayin Mara, where each drop is viewed as an independent drop when you're doing the Yayin Nesach pouring. Each one is viewed as an independent drop. While Hosef Masayim is considered one process that's going towards the 200th. Okay, so now moving on to question 15. Mevor bebraisa shim bala kerem lo tike mechitza kerem harehu chay l'shalim. So if he doesn't fix it, he's chay l'shalim. V'kasha ahavi hezek she'inu nikar v'kaimon hezek she'inu nikar lo shmeya hezek. So ma teretz al zeh hari. So we know that there's this idea that if the hezek is einu nikar, then you'd be putter in that situation. So if this case of kilayim is a case of hezek shein nikar, so why would you be chayiv in that situation? So the Re explains that even though it might be nikar, you can't really see it, but it's halachic nezek is nikar. We define that as hezek mamish, as like a hezek deoraisa. So that's what the Re explains. Okay, fine. So lama Rashi v'Rambam einim yichol taretz kein. So why do they disagree with the Re? Because they're going to say that's not how we define damage. Damage, hezek nikar is when you have the physical stubbins, you have the kamas. The physical stubbins, substance, is then detracted from it. It's reduced by the damage that occurred to it. That's considered hezek nikar. And therefore, anything that does not reduce the physical status or the physical substance of the object, that's going to be considered hezek she'inu nikar, and that's how they understand it. It's more of a physical. They care about what's physically happening. They don't necessarily care about what's happening from the halachic standpoint. So mahu hezek she'inu nikar. Fine. So I kind of just explained it anyways. Mahu hezek she'inu nikar l'fi bet shitos. So the Re would say hezek she'inu nikar is something that would be. That where the halachic status isn't necessarily going to be clear that it occurred, and I guess the Rashi and the Rambam would say it's more about if there's no physical change that would be hezek she'inu nikar. But what's the nafkamina? Te nafkamina b'nehem. So Rav Elchanan Wasserman gave the nafkamina. He gave two nafkaminas. The second nafkamina, we rejected in shir. So Rebbe only asked for one. So I'm assuming he wants the one that we didn't reject. Or else he would have said, what's the nafkamina? And then he would have said, what's the rejection? So the nafkamina is tamei hamashkin, about liquids becoming tamei. So according to the Ri, he would say this is a case of hezek nikar, because it's the liquid was tahor and now it's tamei, so its halachic status has totally changed. So that would be a case halachic status change. Whereas Lafi, the Rashi, and the Rambam, they would say, okay, I understand that the halachic status changed, but the water, it was 1 liter before, and it's 1 liter now. The water is still, there's no physical lacking in the water. The water, when you made it tame, it didn't reduce in the volume. It stayed the same. It's still the same amount of water, same exact water as it was before. So they would say this would not be nezek. Okay, moving on to question 16. So Ketzad Efshar L'Yashev Kushet HaTosfos Lafi HaRashi V'HaRambam. Okay, so we said that according to Tosfos, why are you chayiv in this case of kilayim if it's hezek shein nikar? So he said it was halachic nezek, right? It's the halachic status is considered nikar. So if the Rashi and the Rambam are saying that our case of kilayim is going to be eino nikar, so why would you be chayv bechlal according to them, right? Meaning, if this is eino nikar, and they say this kilayim case is eino nikar, so why would you be chayv bechlal? So what did they answer? So after liyashiv kosher tosaf lafia Rashi Rambam, so they would say that no, this situation, even though it's hezek shein nikar, it's a kanas derabanan. Very good. So the question was, Lama Tosfos lo ratzu l'taritzkin. So Tosfos gave two different reasonings why this is not a case of kanas. So the first reasoning is that the way we understand a kanas is that the tama kanas So the point of a kanas is more of a preventative measure. Is that we put this kanas in place so the next time this situation arises, you're going to think twice before you do this action. That's how kanas is usually function. So therefore, the whole point of the kanas is to make this guy think twice before he does this action. So if we understand that that's how a kanas functions, then the tama kanas in this situation would not be effective. Because in this situation, both the Bala Kerem and the Bala Tvua, the guy who has the Steya Lava and who has the wheat, they're both going to be losing out in the process. If the whole entire point of this kanas was to tell this guy, hey, you know, don't do this because we're going to make you lose, you know, your stuff. Well, they're both losing in the process. If the kanas was to avoid him not caring enough, he's losing. So clearly, he is going to care. So the tama kanas wouldn't necessarily apply in this situation. And then the second reason, which was a bit peculiar, he says that if it's a medin kanas, he should only be chayav b'mezid, but he should be patur b'shogig. But according to you, he'd be chayav b'shogig. I said that backwards. He said if it's medin kanas, he said he should be chayav b'mezid, and he should be chayav b'shogig as well. Yet according to you, what would come out is that you'd be patur b'shogig, which would be incorrect. So the next part of the question is, So how could the Rashi and the Rambam respond back to Tosfos' two points? So I'm going to address the first one. The second answer I was still a bit unsure about. I'll say what I have in my notes and what I thought Rebbe said, but I think there's a little more to it, so maybe we can ask Rebbe tomorrow just to get some more clarity on that one. But I think addressing the first point, is that we have situations where a lot of the times, even if the Tama Kanas doesn't apply, the Gedera Kanas might still apply. Meaning that we often find that, you know, a Tekana is put in place for a certain reason, a reasoning, right? That there's a certain reason why the Tekana isn't put in place. But the boundary of the Tekana isn't limited by that reason. We brought a great Raya to this. I'm not sure if Rebbe asked for the Raya. He didn't, but I'll give the Raya anyways. So the Raya we brought is that the Rambam in Hilchos Chova L'Mazik, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph, says that the chiyuv of hezek shein nikar is a derabanan. He says, why is it derabanan hoel v'hifches demeim? Right, it's still chayav because you're reducing this person's money, and whatnot. So the Rambam makes this general statement of hoel hifches demeim. It's not dependent on any application of any kanas. Then only in halacha gimel does he say, and the reasoning for this kanas is x, y, and z. Only in halacha gimel. So what the Rambam is implying is that you can have this the din of the kanas, you know, is said in halacha aleph, and it can be independent of the reasoning of behind the kanas, which only comes later in halacha gimel. According to the Maharam, which I think that's how we respond to the second answer, the second point of Tosvos, he fundamentally understands Mezid differently, as Mezid is more of like, I forgot exactly. We can try to clear this up. Maybe I'll send out a voice note later explaining it. But seemingly, the Maskan of the Gemara also is that you would be Chayav the Mezid and Pater Vishogeg. So seemingly, it's very easy to reject that second point of Tosvos. I think there's a little more to that, so hopefully I'll get back to you on that. But moving on to question 17, and then we'll call it after this. We're only going to do five. Sulman Damar Hezek Riyash Mea Hezek. Kaim Shutfin Kofin Zazel, Livno Kotel, Bachatzar Shesh, Bodin Chaluka, Malkov Shlo Nahagu Ligdor, Lafia Rabinu Yona, Lafia Rashba. So I'm going to read that again. It's a pretty loaded question. So we said, according to the Ma'ad Amar of Hezek Ri'iya, is considered Hezek, can Shutvin force each other to build a wall, the Chatzar Shieshbo Din Chaluka, that has, you know, more than Dalad Amos on each side, or has Dalad Amos on each side, the Malkam Shalom Nagu Ligdor, a situation where the Minhag in this area is to not be go there. So Lafia Rabbeinu Yona, Lafia Rashba. So let's take Rabbeinu Yona first. So Rabbeinu Yona says, the key to understanding, I mean, as we're seeing this, the first part of the question, the key to understanding the Chatzar is how we view Gina. And then once we understand Gina, then we can apply it, we can choose to apply or to not apply to Chatzar. So let's take Rabbeinu Yona. What does he say? Because by Gina, there is both an Ayin Hara and this Hezek Re'iyah. And therefore, if we say Hezek Re'iyah Shmeya Hezek, the Gina will be more Chamor than the Chatzar. As we saw, if you look in the Mishnah, it says by Gina that b'makom shenahugu shaligdor chayev yir chayev, implying that in makom shelo nahugu ligdor, that was the continuation of the Gemara, implying makom shelo nahugu ligdor, you would be putter from being go there. So therefore, by Gina we say you're putter from being go there, and therefore if Gina is more chamor than Chatzar, and we say putter by Kisa Malkum Shenagu Shlo Ligdor, then obviously if Chatzar was on a lower level, of course you would be putter, and would not have to, and that would also, you would not have to build be goder by Kisa Chatzar as well. So just to say that outside in like very in like a one line summary, if you say that Gina is more chamor than Chatzar, then you're not going to be chayev to build the makom shenagu shlo ligdor. You're not be chayev by a chatzer. So what does the Rashba respond to that? The Rashba says that a chatzer is chayev even in the case of makom shlo nagu ligdor, and it's on a different playing field than gina, because you know gina only has ayin hara. It doesn't have this idea of hezek riyah as well, and it only has this idea of ayin hara. Therefore, the one who says Hezek Riyah Shmeya Hezek, the Chatzar might be even more Chamor, because why? Why would he think that a Chatzar is more Chamor? Because a Chatzar has Tashmish Adam, while the Gina only has Ayin Hara. So Tashmish Adam is a lot stronger than Ayin Hara. So Be'er Shitas HaRabbeinu Yona Lefi HaRama. So what does the Rama say? Even though I kind of read it into the Rabbeinu Yona, but the Yad Rama says that according to the Rabbeinu Yona, there are two factors at play here. It's not just ayin hara of, you know, of the komasa of standing like, you know, seeing your friends standing green, but it's even an issue of hezek riyah as well. It's those two factors. So, and moving on to the next part of the question, be'er shitas harashba lafi haran v'lafi harash. Okay, so the question was, according to the Rashba said that a chatzar is more chamor than a gina. So why is that true? So we said that let's take the Ran first. The Ran says that Tash he has the assumption that the Gina only has Ayin Hara, and the chatzar only has tashmish adam of hezek ri'ya. Therefore, obviously, if you have ayin hara versus tashmish adam is going to win out, and therefore chatzar would be more chamor. The Rosh is a little, I guess, more like mechudishtik, that he says no. Even if you want to say that a gina has both ayin hara and hezek ri'ya of tashmish adam, still the tashmish adam of chatzar is going to be greater than those two factors. And how does that make sense? Why is chatzar more chamor? Because the tashmish adam is a lot more intense by a chatzar because it's more tadir. You're using it a lot more. So therefore, the tashmish adam of the hezek ri'ya of a chatzar is like on a much higher playing field than the hezek ri'ya and ayin hara of a gina. So now moving on to the last part of the question, mahosif akilas Yaakov b'ir shitas haRashba. So he asked, according to the Rashba, if it's a case of if a minhag is shelo ligdor, right? By the because he says that chatzar we would still force. And he was so according to the Rashba, backing up, the Rashba said by a makom shenagu shelo ligdor, by a chatzar we would still say that you have to be goder. You still have to build a wall by the chatzar. So the stipler asks that how if the minhag is not to be go there, then how can we force someone by a chatzar to build? Isn't that like how can the subjective situation force someone to build? So the stipler gave this idea that we'll see a raya in a second, that sometimes we don't take minhags seriously all the time. And therefore, if a nagush lo ligdor, this is a minhag hedyog. This is a minhag that is garua, that is not a good minhag, and therefore we're not going to follow it, and therefore you still be chayv to be go there in the case of the chatzar. And we said, so what's a good where else did we see this? So Tosfos Dibar Maschil Bigvil, he quoted Rabbeinu Tam that says, let's say there's a minhag to do less than hutzah v'dafna, which I guess in our case would be the machzalas kanim. I think that was like the boards that are kind of flimsily being held up. So if the minhag is to do less, can we do less? And Rabbeinu Tam said no. And why is that so? Why can't you do less than hutzah v'dafna? The pachos mikan, anything less than this is a minhag garua. It's a minhag that we're not going to follow because it's such a low level minhag. It's a minhag. I think he used the same lashon of it. It's a minhag hedyot. So I guess we'll stop here, and tomorrow we'll do 18 in the next six. I guess.